Hare Krishna. Welcome back to our discussion on positive thinking. Positive thinking, the spiritual dimension. This is quoted saying attributed to different people, be it Teilhard de Chardin or Stephen Covey also. We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey. We discussed about how positive thinking is so important based on how it has physical effects, how it has actualizational dimensions, how what we think about that that shapes our destiny in the long run. So now we will look at, the power of positive thinking. Now we will look at its scope, that means the delimiters. Sometimes some people make positive thinking into a god. And they think if you just think positive, then they claim and they indoctrinate that if you just think positive, we can achieve anything and everything. But is that really true? Is positive thinking like a magic wand by which everything, anything and everything can be achieved? Not exactly. Positive thinking, no matter how good it is, it has its limitations. You know, one of the most important examples of positive thinking that we could have is Helen Keller. Now, despite being severely limited in her bodily capacities, with her positive attitude, she achieved substantial things. So, let's look at two of her quotes which illustrate both the power of positive thinking and the limits of positive thinking. So, the power of positive thinking. If I regarded my life from the point of view of the pessimist, I should be undone. I should seek in vain for the light that does not visit my eyes and the music that does not ring in my ears. I should beg night and day and never be satisfied. I should sit apart in awful solitude, a prey to fear and despair. But since I consider it a duty to myself and to others to be happy, I escape a misery worse than any physical deprivation. It's a noble thought. It's our duty to ourselves and to others to be happy. You know, we can sit morose because this has gone wrong in my life, that has gone wrong. This person has treated me like this, destiny has treated me wrongly. But you know, it's our duty to be happy, to be a positive influence in our lives and the lives of others. So this is how a person can think positive. But at the same time, there's a limitation to positive thinking. And that is, it is a mistake always to contemplate the good and ignore the evil. Because by making people neglectful, it lets in disaster. There is a dangerous optimism of ignorance and indifference. So here, the dangerous optimism of ignorance and indifference, that means, suppose, say, it's a dam which has got a hole in it. And that can cause the whole dam to break, and it can flood, the water that is dammed, that is preserved behind, may flood and devastate the adjoining areas. If those who are in charge of the maintenance of the dam just say that we'll be optimistic, nothing will go wrong, the dam will hold its strength, then that will not work. There can be devastation and destruction which can result because of neglecting the danger over there. So this is a dangerous optimism based on ignorance and indifference. Ignorance means we don't know, and indifference means we don't care. So we are not interested in that kind of optimism. So let's take the standard example of optimism and pessimism to understand this point, that if we consider a glass, if the glass is half full and we say it is half empty, that is pessimism. But if the glass is empty and we say it is full, that is not optimism. That is stupidism. That is stupidity. As long as we keep believing that the empty glass is full, until that time we have no chance to actually fill the glass. And having no chance to fill the glass, we end up hurting ourselves by remaining thirsty. We are never able to quench our thirst. So in contrast, if the glass is empty and somebody tells us that this glass is empty, and if we tell them, oh, you are such a pessimist, Well, no, that person is not being a pessimist. That person is being a realist. You know, it is just acknowledging reality. And that acknowledgement of reality is the necessary foundation for the rectification of the reality. Then one can find water and pour water in the glass, and then once the glass is full, one can drink the water. So, the optimism of ignorance and indifference is the optimism which imagines an empty glass to be full. And that is a dangerous optimism. So now, if we move forward, what do we really mean by this kind of optimism of ignorance and indifference? It refers to our having a wrong map. Let's take another example. In the Talmud, it is said that we don't see the world as it is. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So, the world is a picture of, is a mirror of our consciousness. As we are, so we see the world around us. Now, what does this mean? Let's consider. First of all, if we look at consider, let's an example of a map. Now, if say we are in Mumbai and we want to find out a particular landmark, say the Gateway of India, where is it in Mumbai? Or say Hotel Oberoi, where it is in Mumbai? Whichever important landmark is there, and then we are in Mumbai and we have a map with us and we are searching on the map. But unfortunately, if we have got the map of Pune, then we are just searching and driving. We will never reach the destination because our map is wrong. Now, you suppose the map is wrong, and then with the wrong map, we try to improve our attitude. Oh, think positive. Think positive, is that going to help us? Not really. Thinking positive is not going to help us because the map itself is wrong. Yes, positive thinking may help us avoid getting discouraged when we find that we are not reaching our destination. It may prevent our spirits from sinking. But that same positive attitude might, if that becomes a stubborn attitude, then the positive attitude may prevent us from thinking, could there be something fundamentally wrong? Might my map be wrong? So the positive attitude just makes us keep endeavoring without looking, without examining our map, then that positive attitude can be actually harmful for us. So moving onwards, what do we learn from this map? See, a map is a representation of the territory around us. It is certain features from the territory are taken, and for the purpose of traveling, navigation, or represent, certain features are represented in the map. So just as there can be maps of the territory or outside, similarly there are maps of our self-conceptions, of our conceptions of life, of success, based on our conceptions and definitions, they're all maps. So for example, if a student has a map that all I need to do is just somehow get marks in the exam, and the student's definition of success is just that, that's the map. And the student may somehow cram stuff before the exam, and by cramming stuff before the exam, the student may get and just regurgitate it, vomit it out during the exam and get good marks. But that won't enable the student to either get deep knowledge of the subject or develop an educated mind. It will actually lead one only to it's a wrong definition of success, and eventually when the student is to work in that field and when there is no proper knowledge of the subject, now there's no educated mind, the student will be in trouble. So just as that can, in every field to succeed, there is a process that needs to be followed. Similarly, a process needs to be followed which cannot be altered. So the right map is the right understanding of what it takes to achieve success. And similarly, in a broader sense, a wrong map could be a materialistic conception of life. You know, if we think of ourselves as only material creatures and think of our happiness and success in terms of our acquiring material goods, then we end up setting ourselves up for failure. Because at the material level, no matter how much success we achieve, at the end there is the Grim Reaper, there is death. And death takes everything away from us. Death is the undeniable, brutal reality which just rips everything away from us. And thus we are left with nothing. So that's why, actually, no matter how positively we think, if we get a terminal disease, yes, we might suffer less, but still we will have to die. If our loved one gets a terminal disease or dies in an accident, how much can positive thinking help us? Now, we are just faced with the pointlessness of it all. We live, we suffer, we die. What is the point of it all? It is only when we recognize that there is an eternal spiritual dimension to our life, does positive thinking become truly meaningful. So, positive thinking, which is based on a materialistic conception of life, is like traveling with a wrong map. And we need to correct that map. So, positive thinking is not going to change the temporary nature of material existence. And that's why we need to complement our positive thinking with spiritual thinking. Then positive thinking will become truly empowering and truly transformational. What the spiritual dimension is and how that can be added in our life, we'll discuss in our future talks. Thank you. Hare Krishna.